At this point, all the data is for receiving a total duration of a year. Is that what you're planning on?
Yes. I think that the Europeans are actually taking a look at the duration question. And so in the European trial, they have no Herceptin. Then the second arm is 1 year of Herceptin after chemotherapy. And the third arm is 2 years of Herceptin after chemotherapy. And because the data that we really have in hand at this point addresses the 1 year of Herceptin, I think that that's the appropriate length of time to give.
And what about the timing of hormonal therapy? 50% of these patients in the combined analysis had not only HER2 positivity, but ER positivity. And they, I believe, utilized the hormone therapy as usual to start after chemotherapy. Is that what you're planning on doing?
Yes. In the North American trials, tamoxifen was to be started after the completion of chemotherapy.
Tamoxifen or an AI in postmenopausal women?
I guess, yes. The slides say tamoxifen, but it must have included an AI.
Yeah, they did. They amended it. They laid it right.
Okay. Then hormonal therapy started after the completion of chemotherapy. And in that study, a forest plot where they took a look at the proportional risk reductions in ER-positive and ER-negative subsets showed the same amount of Herceptin benefit in both subsets. So it wouldn't appear that tamoxifen or the presence of an estrogen receptor interfered with, you know, the additional benefit of the Herceptin. In the European trial, there were some ER-positive patients who did not get hormonal therapy. And in that trial, the results were the same. Most of the patients did get the kind of therapy that was given in North America. And there was no striking difference between the benefits seen in the ER-positive and ER-negative subsets.
So actually, we're going to see a fair number of patients now are going to be receiving hormonal therapy and trastuzumab together, something that we haven't seen too much of before, at least in the metastatic setting.
That's true. You know, there are theoretical reasons to believe that that might be a good idea and that you're blocking both pathways.
Can you talk a little bit more about that? Ken Osborne's talked about, you know, the resistance mechanisms tying in between these pathways.
Well, there's very good preclinical data that one of the escape mechanisms around hormonal therapy is an activation of, you know, phosphorylation-dependent kind of tyrosine kinase pathways. And so the total hormonal or the kind of bi-pathway blockade studies that have been done in people at this point haven't been quite as spectacular in terms of suggesting a strong synergy in metastatic disease, but that doesn't mean that it might not show up in the adjuvant therapy arena.
Another very common question I'm sure that's going to be coming up is the issue of what do we do with patients who have HER2-positive tumors that were diagnosed 6 months ago, a year ago, 3 years ago, you know, the delayed implementation of trastuzumab.
In the intergroup trial, they're actually allowing the control group patients. They're supplying control group patients that want to cross over and get trastuzumab to get it as part of the trial. I believe it's out to 1 year of follow-up. I think that there are theoretical arguments that 1 year is somewhat of an arbitrary choice of follow-up, that there is a lot of relapses. Actually, the peak of relapses occur in patients at about 2 to 3 years out. So I could see a rationale for treating particularly high-risk patients with multiple nodes even out beyond a year, although that, of course, is going beyond the data that we have in hand and somewhat speculative. I can't see any reason to treat patients who are many years out who had had a HER2-positive tumor.